This is Logan Sekulow with breaking news. Elon Musk Twitter deal on hold.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
This is Logan Sekulow on a Friday, and we're talking about the breaking news. And honestly, when this breaking news came out, I was filled with dread. I was filled with sadness because he may not be a savior for a lot of things, but maybe one of the free speech saviors. Elon Musk said his deal to buy Twitter was on hold. Now, what the reason he put it on hold is a reason that I think we can all say, if you've been experiencing Twitter for the last 20 so years, it's been available 15 years, you know it, you love it. There are a lot of bots on there. There's a lot of not real people who have accounts on there for nefarious reasons. So what he said, the Twitter deal is temporarily on hold, pending details supporting calculation that spam slash fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users. So Will essentially saying, before I dump an overpriced, I'm already going in with an overvaluation offer. Before I do that, let's make sure that the people on here are actually real. Obviously, this is a moment, too, where he's coming under a lot of scrutiny for just the idea of this guy purchasing a platform that has been really seized and controlled by the left.
Well, and that is part of an acquisition process. When filings are made or as you go through the due diligence period when you're making a large purchase. Now, I've personally never made a $44 billion purchase, but you know, when there's large corporate purchases, things like that happen. There is due diligence that you go through to make sure that the asset you're buying actually has value and that what is put forward publicly is accurate. Now, when he's responding to this report that Twitter filed saying that the spam or false accounts represented fewer than 5% of its monetizable daily active users in the first quarter. What Elon Musk is then saying, because I think he probably believes that number is couched in some language from Twitter. Right, that they're trying to make it look a lot better than maybe it is. Because as we know, there are a lot of bots and a lot of spam accounts that are on Twitter. So he wants to make sure that whatever they're putting down in that filing is a true representation of the amount of real people on Twitter before he goes and drops $44 billion. He also did say that he's still committed to the acquisition. Mm-hmm. But I think what's different now is when you see an eccentric billionaire like Elon Musk, most people, when they're doing due diligence phases of corporate purchases, they're not publicly tweeting it about like, hey, you know what? I'm pausing for a minute. We got to go through this filing, make sure it's on the up and up. But that's what we're seeing here. So a lot of people on the left were like, aha, maybe we will keep our precious Twitter. But it is a part of the natural buying process.
If it comes out that there are a significant, obviously, percentage of people that are on there that are not legitimate, over 5% or whatever it is, and he pulls out of this, I mean, I think Twitter tanks. I think it already was. Essentially, though there are millions of people who use it, clearly, it had become a dead platform for really conversation, for speech. I quit using it. I know most people had quit using it. And then you have the rise of something like Truth Social, which oddly enough, in the wake of the launch of Truth Social, you have Elon Musk talking about it, mentioning it, bringing up Truth Social, something you wouldn't really do to bring up really could be your competitor. And he also talked about, in the last week, reinstating President Trump and whether that would be good. And he thinks it would be good and has a lot of good reasons why he thinks it was a bad mistake to ban him and then created what became Truth Social, which I have to say, I've been on now for the last couple weeks, and I have almost triple the amount of followers on Truth Social than I do on Twitter. And I've been on Twitter for about 15 years. I've been on Truth Social for 2 weeks, and I have more interactions there from real people than I ever had on really any other social media platform. And I had my most popular Truth post went out today, or late last night. I'll have to tell you what that is in the next one. Maybe not what you're expecting. Maybe not so controversial, but it does kind of tie into the whole global narrative. I want to know what you're using for social media. Look, we know people have moved off of Facebook, moved off of Twitter. Where are you at? Will you go back on? Give us a call. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Talking about the breaking news. This is Logan Sekulow, by the way. We're talking about the breaking news that has come out this morning that the monumental deal that Elon Musk had planned to take over Twitter, one of the strongest, most powerful social media platforms, and the most divisive and destructive, in my personal opinion, was going to be taken over by, at minimum, a guy who is all about free speech advocate. You may agree with him and disagree with him on a lot of other issues, but you can at least agree with his point of views likely on free speech. Now, he did an interview just the last couple days and talked specifically about the ban of President Trump. I think a lot of people know that's where sort of the bigger divide happened. I would say it happened years before then on Twitter, but that was sort of the end all for a lot of people.
And to some degree, President Trump was what saved Twitter initially.
Yeah.
Because back prior to President Trump's election, Twitter was really struggling. And so we're thinking back now to 2015. And then President Trump announces that he's running for president, and the interaction that people were getting from, one, a presidential candidate, and then what turned into be an actual U.S. president, it really kind of lifted Twitter in a moment where there was a lot of people questioning the future of it to begin with. So they had 4 good years, and then they banned President Trump, and it becomes the liberal cesspool that it has been.
And I think the numbers are wonky. I think they're strange. If you really look at how social media is controlled, look at right now. Right now, when I'm broadcasting live to you, some of you guys are listening to this taped or watching it later or listening on radio. But let's just look at our social media platforms, if you will. On Facebook right now, we have on the page we're broadcasting from roughly 4.5 million Facebook likes. There are currently 1,200 people watching us live right now on Facebook. Now, take that back a few years, there was 10,000 people sometimes watching live. And that's the number they're reporting. Who knows what that number really is? Go over to Rumble, which has become the free speech advocate. There are more people watching right now at Rumble, a much narrower base. On this channel, there's 170,000 subscribers. And over what was watching on Facebook is watching right now on Rumble. So these numbers are getting skewed and people are getting aware of it, or even inactive accounts. It's not necessarily all fake accounts or bot accounts. A lot of people that signed up for Facebook 15 years ago. A lot of people that signed up for Twitter 15 years ago and gave up on the platform. Maybe didn't deactivate or delete their account, but they just poof, left. And a lot of that did stem from political division. And it got even worse when President Trump was essentially removed from the platform. Now, They asked Elon Musk, potentially the new owner of Twitter. As we know, he right now says it's on hold as they do their due diligence, but he's still committed to doing it, and we all hope he does. Well, but not all. We'll get to who is not thrilled about that a little bit later. But let's hear from Elon Musk when he was finally asked, and this is what I can really appreciate about this guy, is when a hard question comes, he doesn't give you some political, you know, answer that doesn't make any sense, that's, you know, flipping it on the narrative and making sure that it doesn't really answer the question. He's pretty darn direct. So let's hear from Elon Musk.
I do think that it was not correct to ban Donald Trump. I think that was a mistake, because it alienated a large part of the country and did not ultimately result in Donald Trump not having a voice. He is now going to be on Truth Social, as will a large part of the sort of the right in the United States. And so I think this could end up being, frankly, worse than having a single forum where everyone can debate.
So there you go. Not only putting off Truth Social, but saying, yeah, it was not correct. And I believe later on here, she says it was morally wrong to do that. Now, you can decide that for yourself. But it does start a very interesting conversation. And when that happened, when he said, I'm going to put President Trump potentially back on, I believe it was wrong. Now, he said he's obviously, as of now, committed to just be on Truth Social. And why wouldn't he? It's his own platform. There's millions of people there. It's, you know, fairly nice. I will say that. It's nice to post something and not just have thousands of, like you said, fake accounts, bot accounts, or accounts paid for. Remember, there's a lot of this too. Businesses that pay for fake accounts to then go after conservatives, go after, and look, that's on all media. I'm not even going to say that. There are sports products that are made, or TV products, where there are thousands of bots that are made to go after them, because this is sort of the modern, you know, technological entertainment warfare, if you will, and political warfare. It's not just done in a very clean-cut, easy way to understand. And obviously, you have all the international things. You have the Chinese government. You have the Russian government. You have other places that are putting out information that's not exactly accurate. And a lot of times, those are made to target people who they can engage in, start a conversation, and create that, what they've said, you know, the disinformation. There is some of that that is accurate, that is coming from foreign governments.
Foreign influencers.
That's something we should certainly take a look at and see what's happening. But here's again Elon Musk. Let's hear from him, and then I'm going to talk a little about Truth Social.
I think it was a morally bad decision, to be clear, and foolish in the extreme.
I think that's a good part to stop, because what he pretty much says even a little bit later is specifically that permanent bans should be rare and few. Now, I have to say, as someone who has been personally attacked, had my family's life threatened on Twitter, there's a little bit of me that's like, you know, maybe it shouldn't be that rare. You know, there's sometimes, and he says illegal activity, and maybe we should put people on suspensions, but I've had that happen. I've actually had Twitter say, you know what, this person keeps creating accounts, there's nothing we can do about it, sorry. Now, President Trump, we're going to keep him off. We know how to do that, but some rando who decides to threaten your family because they don't agree with your politics, that person gets to potentially stay on. So I have some concerns, but overall, it's a step in the right direction.
Well, and that's what we've talked about here many times, is that what Elon Musk is saying, not necessarily that he thinks that conservatives are right, and so therefore he wants their voices to be amplified. Yeah. What he's saying is that the world and the country and everyone is better when there are competing voices in an open public forum. And he views Twitter as that. And what Twitter has instead done over the past years and decades that it's been around is marginalized certain voices that it doesn't agree with. And it went to the extreme when they started doing permanent bans on people that they disagreed with politically. Not to mention, as we have many times, when people like the Ayatollah of Iran or Vladimir Putin, their official verified accounts still exist. So, you know, you're getting a real message from the Ayatollah when he tweets death to America. Right. But if it's a political opponent here in the United States of what the liberals that run Twitter currently are into, you could end up with a permanent ban. You could end up with a block on your account where it says you must delete your speech or else you cannot use your account. And so what he's getting at with that entire statement about President Trump is not necessarily like, I want to hear everything President Trump has to say. He's saying that because they limited the open public forum, that those voices aren't going to be silenced, because that's the way that this country works. So they're going to find a place to speak. And instead, you're separating people from being able to get their points across, sure, and to discuss with their fellow citizens.
And now, to get us a little bit back to sort of the headline, if you're just tuning in, I want you to make sure that we are covering that, not just talking about Twitter in general. The breaking news this morning was that Elon Musk said on Twitter that the deal was currently on hold as they do some investigation into bot and spam accounts. Here's a bit of a conversation from Fox News earlier with Brian Kilmeade and Charles Payne. So let's play that so you can kind of give yourself a little bit of a rounder discussion of what's happening. This is Byte 29.
5% does not seem like a lot. What do you think he's getting at?
You know, Brian, let's say you went to your local grocer and you wanted to buy 100 eggs, okay, for a good price. And you say, listen, I'll pay you now for 100 eggs. How many are broken? And the guy says, well, 5% or less. So, okay, I'll give you X amount of money. Then you buy them and find out, no, it's 10% of them are broken. Sort of the same kind of thing here. How much is Twitter worth if a large degree of the actual, you know, accounts, it's worth what its accounts are, right? It's worth what the eyeballs are. It's worth what the daily average user account is if most of them are fake. And not most of them, but a large percentage. I think it's well over 5%. I think really what's going on here is Elon Musk is probably trying to get a better price.
Yeah, that could be the case, or he could be just making sure and doing his due diligence. What's funny, he mentioned the eggs. So I'm on Truth Social at Logan Sekulow. You can find me verified, red check mark. You can find me there. You can follow. And again, like I said, I got about triple the amount of people there that I do on anywhere else. Just that and YouTube are the only ones that compete with the numbers for me personally. But, you know, on Twitter, it's pretty hostile. It's a pretty strong debate. But speaking of eggs, last night around 11 o'clock at night, my whole family had gone to bed and I was still up. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to hop on Truth Social. And I tweeted a picture. One of our guys here, he has chickens. And I procure some eggs from him every so often.
Great eggs.
Great eggs. Top-notch eggs. Locally sourced eggs, I guess, right? That's what you called that.
I mean, they are local.
So
and
I just
you did
tweeted out.
Them.
Hey, not tweeted. Sorry.
Truth.
Take
out.
That back. Truthed out. Hey, anyone else got friends with chickens who make great eggs? Look at these. And I posted a picture. Here's what I found out. The Truth Social crowd, they got chickens and they've got eggs because over 1,500 people, I believe, liked that tweet or that truth. I'm sorry. That truth.
On Twitter, they would say, how dare you subjugate these chickens?
I know, right, exactly. They would have gone after them. But no, thousands of people or liked it, had hundreds of comments, hundreds of retruths. It's my biggest truth on record. And all it was about eggs, and I kind of love that. Because it may be a political sphere of people. It's people that want to talk and have genuine discussion. If you're on Truth or you're on Twitter still, I want to hear from you. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. Will, you said you got a question coming in from YouTube.
Yeah, this is from Sharon on YouTube, and she asks, what does this mean for satire accounts? Would they be considered spam or not a real person? And that is an interesting comment, but I think that for the most part, if it's a satire account that's creating genuine content, to be an army of bots that go after certain posts or to
I think maybe just misunderstanding what a bot is. We're not talking about a news source or a satire page or something that's made with intent. A lot of these are accounts that are made for destruction, are accounts that are made for disinformation, or they're made for a lot of problems. They're not real people. Or even if they are real people, they are paid to cause trouble. Or you have, again, spam bots, stuff like, if you've ever look at any celebrity's responses or Instagram page, Instagram's the best way, you'll see that when a celebrity posts, within about a minute, there's about 20 people trying to get you to invest in some form of fake cryptocurrency. Because those are spam accounts. They are not real people. These are bots that are created to comment immediately when a verified account or someone with prominence posts. That's more what we're talking about here. What I believe that's what he's talking about
right here.
Now, obviously, people have been panicked about this. So a lot of people woke up and read that article this morning, or read that headline this morning that he was putting it on hold. And people like me, viscerally were not thrilled with that, because I would love to see someone like Elon take it over. And then you have, obviously, the people on the hard left who have been panicking for the last month that he was going to take over their beloved platform. And this came out from Media Matters, our favorite source. They're probably going to clip this and put that on there. Good for us. They put out this signed page with, a lot of people that you're going to like. We'll get to the end of who that is. This says, to whom it may concern. I'm not going to read you the whole thing because TLDR, this is way too long.
You want some highlights, though? I got some highlights for you.
Yeah, Will's got the highlights. Well, I'll start with the first paragraph, then you can take it from there. To whom it may concern. Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter will further toxify our information ecosystem and be a direct threat to public safety, especially among those already most vulnerable and marginalized. All right, let's just start with there. Okay, and then there's a greatest hits of 20 reasons why Elon Musk. Again, the guy who put more money into sustainable energy and electric vehicles than anyone is now not only not the savior of the left, but is pretty much the devil himself to the left, purely for the fact that he would like Twitter to be less toxic for 50% of the country and for the world. But, Will, let's go through sort of the greatest hits of this. Again, this signed boycott, if you will, of Twitter.
Yeah, and this letter was actually sent to brands last week asking them to commit to standards, basically commit to how Twitter is right now, or else they will not advertise on the platform. Now, this went to big brands like Coca-Cola, Disney, which has their own problems as it is right now, Kraft, but other large companies that would be advertising on Twitter. So basically, this is almost like a boycott, divest, and sanction type move. Many of these groups are involved with that against the state of Israel.
Yeah.
So they kind of have their MO.
It's like Twitter BDS. Yeah.
But they're saying Musk intends to steamroll the safeguards and provide a megaphone to extremists who traffic in disinformation, the new favorite word of both the government and the left, hate and harassment. Under the guise of free speech, his vision will silence and endanger marginalized communities and tear at the fraying fabric of our democracy.
I mean,
that's intense.
Gosh. I mean, you're talking about Twitter here, people. I mean, it's been a cesspool for a decade, and we're worried about it. I'm not worried about it. I also think we need to take back disinformation. Trump did it. Fake news was about him. They called him fake news, and then he was like, I'm going to start using it. We should start using disinformation.
Everything they say, now disinformation.
Yeah, exactly. We take it back. Then all of a sudden, we're selling disinformation t-shirts. We're starting our own society.
The Disinformation Society.
The Disinformers.
Is there a membership fee? How do you get involved?
Calling yourself the Disinformers is hard, because are you the Disinformers? You need like disinformants.
Disinformants.
Yeah.
You're an informer.
Right.
Got it. Tip line.
Yeah.
I found some disinformation. What was it? The left.
So let's go through this letter. We'll continue on. Sorry about that sidebar there. Let's go through this. Maybe who signed it? Because, you know, who signed this? You think it's going to be some other major corporation? So maybe, you know, some very moderate St. Jude's Children's Hospital, you know, something
maybe
that's just...
Maybe even like the ACLU or someone that like
maybe the
historically
ACLU.
Says they're
Elon
for
Musk.
Free speech but doesn't really fight for free speech anymore. Maybe you'd think they'd sign
hey,
it. No?
When the ACLU Twitter account realized that Elon Musk was a big donor of theirs, they all of a sudden went from, this is going to be horrible, to like, yeah, we think Trump should be back on too. And they put that out there.
They said
the ACLU was like, he's not wrong. I love that. So funny. So let's go through some of the, let's just give you a couple of the top.
My favorite really of this is that it shows with the conversation we've had this week between the leak of the Supreme Court draft opinion to the left really trying to codify Roe versus Wade. Some of the names that jump out at me on this list are NARAL Pro-Choice America.
Yep.
Obviously a pro-abortion group. Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, obviously a very pro-choice group.
Yeah, their whole mission. They throw religious in there just to throw you off.
And we have the Women's March. So yeah. There is a whole list of about 20 different people that
pretty
are
much the
a
top
lot of,
tier. The top tier of the organizations.
Either quote, social justice organizations yeah. and or pro-abortion organizations are who signed this. Now,
so
why
are
people that are pro-abortion so concerned about speech they don't like? Because when you tell the truth online,
it all falls apart.
People's minds start to change.
Yeah, and I think they're seeing a big rise. I think, look, the whole the draft decision in Rome, we just saw two of our biggest days in the history of the organization do that matching moment we did earlier this week, is because I do believe they thought there would be a bigger outcry than there was when this leaked decision, obviously leaked likely by someone within the court with liberal leanings, to cause chaos. And it did, to some sense, cause a lot of chaos. But it didn't see. It hasn't yet. Maybe when the decision comes out, I'll be, you know, Ian Crow, you'll be talking to me later on in the summer. You didn't see, other than at a couple cities and in front of the Supreme Court, you didn't see mass protests.
Even the protests in front of the justices' homes,
yeah.
which would I would not want to be
which,
someone
by the way,
having my home protested, but were comparatively very to some of the other protests they've been able to organize. There were not as many people turning out for those as you would expect if it was as galvanizing of a moment for the left as they claimed
it
was.
I think it was an eye-opening. That should be eye-opening for both sides of what this topic is right now and where people are. Maybe they're not as motivated and as passionate about it as we thought on both sides. That's an interesting discussion that can be had, and we should talk about that at some point. But because this didn't become the protest of the summer, hasn't yet, where people are taking to the streets in mass and there's destruction and chaos like there was two summers ago, and people going, you know, clearly something is happening in this country. I think it's freaking everyone out, and they think having Twitter be removed as somewhere where you can just have a one-sided conversation, or you can cancel people for their political points of view, because that's the way they've been doing it, that maybe that's not the best bet. Because if Elon Musk, again, not a conservative activist by any means, is going to run this company and said, oh, we should have, you know, free speech on it, and you should be able to share and have discussion, maybe we actually can discuss, maybe there could be an intelligent conversation, that's going too far for the radical left. We'll be back for a second half hour of Seculo. If you don't get us on your local radio stations, we're broadcasting live for another half hour on social media. You know what? Just find us on Rumble. We're there, uncensored. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.